Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday. Kill the song. I don't like it. That's all. Welcome to the Savage Nation. There's a couple of stories. It'd be nice to have an easy day today, but it's not going to happen. An Arizona nuclear plant is on lockdown. Why? A nuclear plant contractor had a pipe bomb. That's all. You know, it's like some men bring lunch, others bring pipe bombs. Now, it says nuclear plant contractor. They will not release the race nor the religion of the nuclear plant contractor. And so we must assume, in order to be good Americans, that the nuclear plant contractor with the pipe bomb was a nun. It was a nun with a pipe bomb. Because if you assume anything else, you're a racist. It certainly couldn't be an Islamo-fascist who had to be hired through affirmative action. You wouldn't expect that. After all, they're all here to help America and to do America good. Now, in Italy, where they still have a pair of you-know-what between their legs, they've just passed a law to kick out undesirable immigrants after an admiral's wife was raped and murdered in a brutal sex attack by a gypsy. Now, you won't read the word gypsy in the story. You'll read the word Romanian. You have to read the entire story to get through the PC garbage and rubbish, the honey and the glue put out by the morons who write today, until you find out that the string of attacks in Italy blamed on Romanians, which has finally caused the country to stand up and show that they're still alive. The camp that she was dragged into and raped was used by Romanians and gypsies. Romanians and gypsies. So Italy has passed a law to kick out undesirable migrants after admiral's wife dies in brutal sex attack. Now, they, of course, are hiding who did it. This woman was raped near her home in northern Rome. She was hit several times with a stone as she walked home. She was then dragged into the undergrowth where she was sexually assaulted before being left for dead. Italian state radio said that the Italian woman was taken off life support today after tests showed that her brain activity had ceased. Consequently, the Italian police raided a camp where Nikolai Romulus Melet lived. And the police searched a 25-year-old run-down cardboard and wood shack where he lived, and they found Mrs. Reggiani's handbag, and last night he was in custody. As part of the crackdown, Italy's Prime Minister Romano Prodi said the government had passed a law which would allow local authorities to expel immigrants with a history of violence. He said, "We will do what we must do to make sure these acts don't happen again." Gianfranco Fini of the right-wing National Alliance Party welcomed the expulsion decree, but said it should also cover jobless immigrants. Romania's Prime Minister told Italian state TV Thursday night that he backed the Italian government's expulsion decree. Violent Romanians will be sent home without hesitation, Premier Calin Popescu Tarasenyu said in an interview with Italian TV. We need firm and energetic measures to stop this phenomenon, the Romanian premier said. Now, here's the punchline of this story. Although the free movement of EU citizens within the 27 member nations is a cornerstone of EU policy, countries still have the right to keep certain people out if they're deemed dangerous. I can't wait till a communist lawyer says he's not really dangerous. He was just an underprivileged Romanian who was not given an equal opportunity in racist Italy. Had only he been given a new Mercedes-Benz and a Palazzo, why, then he wouldn't have had to rape the admiral's wife. He would have married her. I'm waiting for that one to occur. You see, we're living in the New World Order. What you people don't understand is you keep hearing it's going to happen, it's coming. Bush has dragged us there already. Bush was the stealth New World Order president. Make no mistake about it. What his father started, he's just about finished. That's number one. What you don't realize is that we're 90% in the European Union world court world already. I want to show you a story I pulled out. Now, you probably heard about General Mills recalling two frozen pizza brands, affecting 414,000 cases of pizza products. And that is because the food had E. coli. Several people had kidney failure from eating Totino's or Geno's pizza with pepperoni before becoming ill. Now, where did the meat for the pepperoni come from? Well, we don't know. With George Bush's obsession with free trade, it could have come from dead cows left on a roadside in China. Now, you think I'm exaggerating, don't you? Well, here we go. Here's another story for you. FDA is unable to ensure drugs are safe, panel is told. Do you know why they can't ensure that your drugs are safe? Your medications, all you victim Americans who need eight medications a day, all the crutches that you've been put on by your corrupt doctors who won't put you on a proper diet and tell you to get off your fat behind and walk around like a human instead of a slob? You want to hear why your drugs are unsafe? Why even the Food and Drug Administration says it cannot guarantee the safety of the nation's drug supply? Do you know why? Because foreign companies now make as much as 80% of all ingredients used by American drug makers, and the FDA's record keeping is so poor that it cannot even say which of these have not been inspected in the foreign countries. So as a result of George Bush's obsession with free trade, drug manufacturers in the United States may be labeling your medication as made in the USA, but the ingredients, 80% of all ingredients used by the American drug manufacturers, are coming from foreign companies, and there are no records to say whether the ingredients are pure or not. We have lost this country, frankly. The country is broken. George Bush broke it. He deregulated everything that needed regulation, and he regulated everything that needed to be unregulated. He's twisted everything upside down, and I'm telling you, he's the problem. I'm sick and tired of your Republican idiots, you Bushbots, not seeing what happened here. I'm sick of it. He broke our borders, and he took our Border Patrol agents and put them in jail for 11 years, two Border Patrol agents who did their job. He took the Marine Corps, and he prosecutes and persecutes U.S. Marines who do what was done in World War II in order to intimidate the Marines. You're telling me that's a sane commander-in-chief? I'm starting to think Kucinich may not be so far off. You know, it takes a crazy man to see one. I mean, we know Kucinich is insane. Maybe he has special abilities. Maybe he sees something we don't see. So I've just showed you the connection between undesirable immigrants, undesirable ingredients, and how the New World Order is responsible for the breakdown of our borders, language, culture, and our food and drug safety. The whole country is falling apart as a result of George Bush's deregulation, his obsession with world trade, and his oppression of the United States Marines. That's my opinion. Play rock and roll. I'm going to take a breather now. That's all. I've given you my monologue. Yeah, all right. Bump and grind. Go ahead. Play bump and grind. Go ahead. Yeah, play bump and grind. Go ahead. Bump and grind with the New World Order. She's a transsexual.
Earth Angel.
Dance with the transsexual called the New World Order. The New World Order who has AIDS.
Love you all the time.
How do we fix this thing? It's so broken, I don't know where to begin. Play it again, will you please?
With you.
Company asks consumers to throw away the pizzas. You hear? Throw away the pizza. Throw away the pizza, go ahead. Throw away the pizza. How about throwing away the illegal immigrant? Can we get rid of them at the same time? Can we finally show we're a nation again? Get rid of them and throw them out of the country? Is anybody... Turn it off now. Is anybody in charge of this country? Is anybody running anything? Who is at the helm of this nation? Who is at the helm of the United States of America? Is there a captain in the house? Or do we have a ship with no one in the wheelhouse? U.S. nuclear plant sealed off after pipe bomb found in a contract worker's truck. Again, no race or religion of the contract worker. We have to assume the contract worker is a nun, that the pipe bomb was found in a nun's lunchbox, actually secreted in a nun's habit. We must assume that at first, or you will not pass the America last test. You must be given the America last test by the U.S. government every day. And the first assumption you must make is that nuns are responsible for worldwide terrorism. Because if, God forbid, you should jump to Islamofascism, you would be showing that you're in need of diversity training. Not that they should be kicked out of the country. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. And it's the Friday edition. It's open mic to mic, really. There were some follow-up topics, since you don't want to talk about Romanians in Italy and raping admirals' wives and killing them, and what that means for America, where we have a rape epidemic amongst illegal aliens, a drunk driving epidemic amongst certain migrant groups from certain countries. It's part of the national sport, is getting drunk and driving in their home country. That's what they do. It used to be said that Australians had a national sport of puking on car fenders, and that was considered a joke, and people laughed at it. But you wouldn't be able to say that blank, in Blankico, the national sport is getting drunk and running people over, particularly bicyclists, because that would be unwelcoming. You don't want to be unwelcoming and exclusionist. What you want to be is inclusive. And if the inclusiveness includes rapists, murderers, drunk drivers, terrorists, well, that's so much the better. In other words, you go to bed feeling good that you were an inclusive human being. Inclusive human being. Do you have a rock and roll song for me here on the program? I don't know. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I just can't take it. I can't do this anymore. I can't. I want to fight back, and I can't. We've been destroyed by George Bush and the fake Republicans. We've been destroyed. You got to hand it to them.
Well, I say, come on over, baby. We got chicken in the corner. Woo! Huh? Come on over, baby. Well, I got the bull by the horn. We ain't breaking. Oh, I'll shake it on. Yeah, let's shake. Ready to shake.
See, what I would do if I gave a citizenship test is I would run songs like this and ask him who sang it and in what year. I give them 20 questions like that. If they flunk it, you don't let them into the country. That's all. You don't know who this is? Then you can't come into my country. Go back and study the 15th century or the 7th century. Then get back to us in 500 years. Look at this story here. All right, turn it off already. Hillary Clinton is crybabying it. That Tim Russert, who is a Democrat, he's as owned by the Democrats as they get, that he asked a question of her that she couldn't answer. She's screaming that the question was misleading. You hear? Just amazing to me. Just amazing. That's all. That's all. Now, there's a drought in Tennessee and a flood in Mexico. Nothing to do with global warming, of course, but this is what our weather is called. CNN's Larry King claims he was swindled in a $15 million life insurance scheme. That's odd, because the man died during the time of Abraham Lincoln. How could he be rooked in a life insurance scam if he was? Look, did Larry King die when Abraham Lincoln was president? Larry King claims that an unscrupulous insurance brokerage swindled him in connection with the sale of $15 million in personal life insurance policies. Ooh, that's terrible. Scheme hatched by the Maryland-based Meltzer Group. Meltzer. Hey, Meltzer. Hey, Meltzer. You got seltzer. Hey, Meltzer, you screwed seltzer. In his October 22nd complaint, a copy of which you'll find below, Larry King charges that the insurance company, blah, 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 life insurance, that resulted in the CNN host purchase and flipping of insurance policy with an aggressive value of $15 million. In one instance in the lawsuit, King purchased a $10 million policy, and it melts his direction. Melts it! Immediately sold it for a $550,000 profit. King also sold his interest in an older $5 million policy for $850,000. The newsman alleges that melts it! Driven by greed and avarice, well, read it for yourself. Meltzer screwed seltzer, according to the lawsuit. Unbelievable. Look what goes on in the world. The best rule is to follow Dr. Savage's father's advice. God rest his soul. His advice was trust no one. Start with that premise. Everyone's out to take something from you. You start there, and then you don't get in trouble. Well, you still might get hurt, but at least you're starting out with reality. Or you can be a moron, liberal, trusts everyone, and says, I don't want to live in such a world. I want to live in a world with rose-colored glasses. Go ahead. KNEW, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. You're killing me. I just wanted to compliment you on your yesterday, your shrimp scampi monologue topped off with your wonderful rant against all that we fight against. That was so classy.
I did have a bad red wine hangover. That's A. But the important point was to teach people to cook the shrimp after dredging the shrimp in flour and cook it in hot soy oil. Not in olive oil. Olive oil has a lower flash point, and it smokes too fast to get the right cooking. You know what I mean? I wanted to help people cook a proper shrimp.
It was fantastic. You just mixed in only how you can do, though, and it was just, I was in tears.
But you see, there was a subtext in it, and I think you got the subtext of what I was saying beneath the shrimp. See, people got to understand the whole gestalt of the Savage Nation in order to understand a story like that. Sometimes I speak in code, sometimes I speak in metaphor. Yesterday, I actually was telling you how to cook a shrimp, but you could read it any different way you want. See, George Bush cooked us. He cooked the conservative movement the way I taught you how to cook a shrimp. You expected him to put you into hot boiling water and you would fight back. Instead, he put you in slowly boiling water. And little by little, he turned up the heat to the point where you didn't even know you were being cooked. That's all. Thanks for the call. Tonight, I'm going to the museum again. I went 2 weeks ago. They got Friday nights at the museum. I'm going back to my origins, my museum crawling. They have like music. I hope they don't have rap music in there. It was awful. I had jazz. It was bad enough. Cascading through the halls of the museum, desecrating the sacred paintings and the art, the New Guinea art, the sacred art. I had to listen to that insanity. I don't mind if they play. They can't put them in a back room somewhere. They need to put them in the center of the museum with microphones. You hear? But all right, they have an open bar. There's a lot of young families with children, which I like seeing. The more intelligent families on a Friday night will take their kids to the museum. It's like a different America in there. I got to tell you that. It's like, really, it certainly does not look like a cross-section of America. I got to tell you that. I saw nobody with pants underneath their behind. Let's put it to you that way. Nobody wore a hat on backwards. No one wore a hat on sideways. There were no thugs in the museum, in other words. It's a refuge. I feel like I'm going to a monastery tonight. And I'm going to look at the same paintings. I'm going to look at the Sargent painting. I'm going to look at that great rainbow. I'm going to go over to the New Guinea art and look at a certain number of skulls, human skulls in there. Terrific, terrific, terrific. And then I'll know that civilization still exists. Seltzer, you got screwed by Meltzer.
I wonder who wrote the book of love.
All right, stop the music for a minute, because this is going to be on your new citizenship test. You got to know when the song was popular and who sang it. Play it now. Go ahead.
Oh, the answer was someone from above.
It's a Savage Nation citizenship quiz today.
Who wrote the book of love? I love you, darling. Baby, you know I do. But I've got to see this book of love. Find out why it's true.
Who? Boom. What a country we had. What a country we had. And then it's all gone. The pimps took it over.
You never, 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 ever gone apart in chapter 3. Remember the meaning of romance. In chapter 4, you break up, but you give it just one more chance.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Who wrote the book of love?
Look at this. Look at this song. Larry King rooked in life insurance scam ? Claims unscrupulous brokerage hatched $15 million scheme. And he claims it a group called the Meltzer Group out of Maryland. So according to him, Meltzer screwed Seltzer. Now, I don't understand this. How does this work? That Meltzer, now held by third party for his. In other words, he sold his insurance policies to the Meltzer Group, according to the lawsuit that I could read. To his detriment, Larry King claims the deals disproportionately benefited Meltzer through large commission, blah, 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 blah. The two multimillion dollar policies on Larry King's life are now held by third party firms. One of those companies, Coventry Insurance, is being sued by New York State for bid rigging and fraud in connection with its leading role in the growing life settlement industry. Listen to this. Coventry specializes in the purchase of life insurance policies owned by the aged and ill, with the firm aiming to profit when the elderly seller dies. which is likely what they had in mind when purchasing the $5 million King policy. Wow. So, in other words, the guy has a life insurance policy. Let's say it's $5 million. And he wants the money now, not when he's dead. He doesn't want to leave it to his heirs. So here's one. In one instance, as cited in the lawsuit, Larry King purchased a $10 million policy, and at Meltzer's direction, immediately sold it for a $550,000 profit. King also sold his interest in an older $5 million policy for $850,000. So in other words, I get it. You buy a $5 million policy, then you sell it for profit. They keep your policy, which means when you drop dead, they get the money. But they sell it off to someone else, and they make a buck on it too. So what's he fetching about? What's his complaint? King charges that the insurance company convinced him to engage in a series of... Nah, I don't see it that way. You know, what, he wanted the money up front. Now he wants it now that he's aged. He wants it back. By what I see here, I don't know. The whole thing looks, you know, who screwed who is, I don't know. Don't know. I can't figure it out. You have a life insurance policy, you keep it till you die. You're selling it to someone for a quick buck. And now what, you want it back 10 years later? Doesn't work that way. What do you want to talk about? Anything. You know, I don't care. I really don't. Anything you want here. The rat that shook the world. It runs for hours. It lives longer. It has more sex and eats without gaining weight. Good. Great. Who wants to live like a rat? Who wants to live like a rat? They had a genetic transformation. They move genes around in the rat that will be lining up in L.A. after the hair transplants and the tooth implants and the Viagra. The next thing is they'll have the rat gene put into them. They're halfway there anyway, psychically, so why not have a rat gene put in already? They behave like the animal. They may as well just have the rat gene put in. They think they're fooling me? What is this now? Record real estate market in Palm Beach, median price up 24%. I looked there again this year. Palm Beach prices rise, defying national trends. It's nice down there. I can't live there. I looked and looked and looked. Every year I looked and almost bought, then I didn't buy. Then I backed out, I backed in, I bought it, I inspected, then I sold it, and I didn't want it. And I did want it. The property at 1900 South Ocean sold for $15.9 million and blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of money. Via Pelicano address, da-da-da-da-da, late Kurt Gowdy, never heard of him. I couldn't live on the beach. I mean, you look at it when you think about it. I mean, what are you going to do? You got the big house, then all you hear is the ocean. Boom, boom, all night long. Whoosh, you know, the wind and the ocean. Life is with people. I'd rather live in Astoria, Queens, I think, than on the ocean somewhere. Thought about it. The more you know life, the more you know you need to be around, like with an elevated train rattling overhead, a newspaper man, a blind man, a sick man, a healthy man, an old man, a young woman, an old woman, a pregnant woman, a harlot going to a nightclub, an immigrant, a non-immigrant, a cracker, a racist, an ACLUer, a non-ACLUer. That's what I grew up with in New York, is that whole thing. You can go crazy with the monodimensionality of the suburbs, I got to tell you. You can go out of your mind. How many garage doors can you look at with any interest? Wow, what a nice garage door. Really, where'd you buy it? Oh, what a dishwasher. Oh, my God. That's really amazing. Oh, you repaved your driveway. Whoa, that's really something. Life is with people. I'm going to have to wind up moving back into. See, the monk who jumps over the monastery wall and goes back into life, that's the kind of monk I am. You can live in a monastery only for so long, and then eventually the monk has to jump the wall. I'm at that point. You have to jump over the wall. Actually, if you read Buddhism, they say the same thing. They don't say that the monk has to leave the monastery, but he has to jump the wall every once in a while and go out and have a few drinks and a good time. They say that in order to be a better monk. Otherwise, they become like, I don't know, just what, a reformed alcoholic? You know what that? Where does that leave a person? They're the most dangerous people in politics, or the reformed anything, because they become fanatic. They never let go of a thing if they get on it. It's like, no, I'm a white-knuckle drunk, and I'm a white-knuckle free trader. I'm a white-knuckle New World Order guy, even if things, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Poison pizza, poison drugs, poison food, poison toys, poison children, poison nation, poison flag. All aboard, I'm stuck with it. That's how it is. That's how I see it. I've been told it's good. No, I'm not letting go. I'm a tough guy. Oh, no. I don't have to yield. Oh, no, I got to keep going. No, I see it my way. The whole world can go to hell. No, it's my way or no way. It's my way, the highway. No, no, no. Houston, Texas. Loretta, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I just wanted to warn you about the soy oil that you're using. Make sure that it's, even if it says it's made in the USA, it could be made with Chinese soybeans mixed in, because I called the soy milk company about that, and they don't have to even list it on their box.
Oh, goodness. Another item I got to worry about. It was Hain organic soybean oil. Country of origin, they don't even tell you. The country of origin means nothing. Bush destroyed that, too. Do you know that he did this? He deregulated the food industry to the point that the country, he even tried to get the country of origin off the foods. Do you know that? The man's crazy.
Right.
I'm starting to think Kucinich may have something there. I don't know. There's got to be a stop to this. Somebody's got to turn the clock back on some of the damage Bush has done to our food and drug laws. How do you like that? And I'm a conservative. Don't tell me I'm a liberal. I'm a conservative. We need help here. And I got news for you. Bush and the Republicans destroyed our food and drug laws. Raped them. Ripped them open. All for the almighty dollar. I know you don't want to hear it. You can't stand it. Many of you get upset. You don't want to hear it. I know that. And I understand that it gets you upset. It gets you very nervous. You know, it gets you very nervous. I know you want to believe in Team A as opposed to Team B. You know, or Team B versus Team A. And what's this, top conservatives? What a bunch of rubbish. They put people on there with a show 1/20th my size. What do they know? They're from England anyway. You know, bad dentures and rotten food. How can they know anything about what a conservative is in England since they lost their own nation? Kansas City, Mo. Susan, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for your show and let you know that I am a conservative woman out here in the Midwest that ran across your show about a month or two ago, and I laugh, and I cry because I agree with you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, those are my cufflinks, my thespian cufflinks, not lesbian, thespian cufflinks. On one side, it's a smiley face. On the left, on the other side, is a frown face.
Right.
And that's life, isn't it? Isn't that life?
It is, but that's, I mean, I was frustrated with all this stuff coming into China over 3 years ago when my grandson was born, and I had to go buy, you know, toys and even clothes, and I couldn't find anything made in the U.S. And I was upset.
Well, that's the way Bush wants it. The important thing is that we have web designers in America, not that we make anything. You don't want to be manufacturing anything. You want to make sure you send the entire factory to China because the company can make a higher profit that way. I think that we should outsource the Department of Defense to China, turn it over to the little fellas over there in the People's Republic of China, because after all, it meets all the qualifications of the Bush administration. They could run the military cheaper. They could pay lower wages. They have no problems with human rights abuses. They wouldn't have to pay life insurance policies. They would just harvest the kidneys of anyone they didn't like. I think it's time to turn the Defense Department over to the Chinese. They know how to run things over there, you know? They really do. I mean, that's the way the administration is moving. Let China handle the military as well because, well, that way we won't go to war with them. What's the point of going to war with a company that's running our military? We won't have any spare parts problems. And anyone who doesn't like it can just be harvested. They can bring him in for a little harvesting, that's all. Soylent Green. 1-800-449-8255. New Orleans. Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
All right, Michael. I'll tell you what. You missed it by two presidents. George Daddy is the one that started it with NAFTA, gave it to Bill Clinton, who ran it down the road, and Georgie Jr., he's just capitalizing on every dollar he can because he has it there in Texas, and he's bringing all the illegals in to help him reap and rape.
Well, sounds to me like you're pretty close to the truth here. Why are they obsessed with this world trade at the detriment to the United States of America, the health of the nation? The health and welfare, you know, of the nation. When you use the word welfare, we don't mean giving someone for nothing, something for nothing. The welfare of the nation, the health of the nation, has been damaged by George Bush's open-door policies. We all know that. That's why we're all arguing over illegal immigration. That's why Hillary Clinton got tripped up on the illegal immigration problem, because her own voters don't want the illegals here. But I know that the GB1 did it. I understand that. The question is, who's going to take us out of this? You know, who's going to take us out of this? Could you play rock and roll, please? I want to hear rock and roll for a minute, anything. And except Larry King. I mean, Larry King singing rock and roll.
Only in America.
Lost. Break it. Break the record. No. Give me At the Hop. I'll even take that already. Give me At the Hop by Danny and the Juniors. Where is Danny? There it is. That's all. 1,000 times.�► All right, let's stop the music. Let's stop right now. All of you people who are here illegally, if you can tell us who wrote this and when it was popular, that's question number four in the Savage Nation citizenship test. Look it up. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Fire, brawlers, Detroit and barbecued ribs, you get the treat of the week. But when you dig that real fine jive with
kill that world. Record, it's just noise. I wouldn't have bought that one. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. AP story, bomb scare closes I-5 in San Diego, pipe bomb on the side of the freeway. That's all. That's the main north-south artery between L.A. and the U.S.-Mexico border. I guess one of our illegal immigrants dropped the package he was given to deliver. That's all. All right, next case. I want to read you something from the book The War, World War II, by Jeffrey Ward and Ken Burns, that great PBS documentary I've been telling you about. So I'm on page 236 of the book. The pictures are amazing. And this is about the Japanese-American Nisais of the 442nd Division. Now, let me explain why this is so important. When we were at war with Japan, there were questions about the loyalty of Japanese-Americans. And to prove they were loyal, there was a 442nd Division created of all Japanese-American men who became the most highly, they won more medals than any other division in the U.S. Army in the war in World War II. They were that brave and that amazing. And they did it to prove to the racists that they were Americans first. That's what we need now. We need a Muslim-American division to go fight in Iraq to prove to the rest of us that our suspicions are wrong. Instead of attacking us every time we raise a question about another bomb going off somewhere and thinking that's going to work because it won't work, why don't you just create a Muslim-American division like the Japanese-Americans did and put to rest once and for all the question of divided loyalties? Does that work for you? Works for me. So here's some of the writings of Daniel Inouye, a wonderful man from Hawaii, and he's a Democrat and a U.S. Senator, Dan Inouye. So he lost his arm in World War II, and didn't he just die this last year, I think? Okay. So here's a young guy, goes over, he's 18 years old with three stripes, assistant squad leader, Daniel Inouye from Honolulu, in the 1st Platoon of E Company, and he's advancing in Italy. I got to read you what he wrote, or what he told in the book. It's unbelievable. I was leading a little reconnaissance patrol to see what the area looked like, and as we were walking, I happened to glance up the next hill and saw this German. He was sitting there, and so I signaled the men, and they all quieted down, and I said, "That's mine." I very deliberately got my rifle and set the sights, got the wind, and just squeezed the trigger, and bang. You would think that at that moment, after killing a human being, you would feel a little remorseful. I felt pleasure, and the men applauded. "You were terrific, Dan." That was the early times in the war, and we were taught to kill the enemy. He was not a good person. He was the evil person. So you felt you had accomplished something. And that haunts me, because before I became a soldier, I sang in a choir. I was a Sunday school teacher, and "Thou shalt not kill" was real to me. And here I was, killing someone and not feeling remorseful. So for three bloody weeks, the Japanese Americans in the 442nd keep moving. They drive the Germans off Hill 410. They fight across the Cecina River. They take Castellina. And along the way, Dan Inouye was given greater responsibility. He said, "I was now in charge of three squads and a total of 41 men, and I began to realize why this was done. If you're an engineer, you're selected to be an officer because you know mathematics and logarithms and all of that. If you're an artillery officer, I suppose they select you because you know something about trajectory and physics. Why would they select someone for an infantry officer? Well, he has to know how to read the maps and the compass, but he has to know how to kill. That's a horrible thought. I won't tell you how many men I killed, but there are some who count sheep, so they tell me. But there are times in my life when I count men. And that's a terrible thought, because I'm certain the average person, if he or she ran over a cat, you'd never forget that. So how in the world can you forget killing a man?" Here's the last paragraph from this wonderful book. It says, "But even Inouye sometimes found it hard to do as he was ordered." And here he goes. He's still in office and alive, excuse me. He said, "This one experience was so bad that I had to see the chaplain. We had just attacked the farmhouse where we thought there was a machine gun nest. We just blew it up with a bazooka. And I ran up there, and sure enough, there were three Germans, two dead and one alive. He was leaning against the wall, and he spoke in German, and I don't speak German. And he was saying, 'Kamerad, Kamerad,' and he had his hands up to surrender. Then all of a sudden, he stuck his hand into his jacket, and the only conclusion I could reach instantaneously was that he was going for a gun. So almost instinctively, I reacted, and I hit his face with the butt of my rifle. And his hand flew out, and in his hand was a bunch of photographs. He wanted to show me pictures of his wife and his children. That's war. Now, today, Dan Inouye would have been tried by George Bush. George Bush would have given him a court-martial for reacting in a combat situation the way any man in combat reacts, which is to save his own life first. But the fat old men in Washington who have never fought in a war don't know any of this. Instead, they just send the young men to fight in wars, and then they call foul when the men get into a situation like that, and then they court-martial them. And that's why I gave $30,000 of my own money to the defense of Lieutenant Colonel Chesani, why you must keep giving money to the Thomas More Law Center. The government has spent $21 million to persecute this man and the U.S. Marines. The government will spare no expense to burn our men. And it's the government that should be in jail, not our Marines. The men who are persecuting them should be in prison for doing this to them. I'm reading to you, I read to you rather, what combat was like from the eyes of a hero in World War II, a Japanese-American, a U.S. Senator named Dan Inouye. He told you what he did. The man reached in his pocket after surrendering, and he thought he had a gun. He broke his face open and killed him. He didn't like doing it, but that's what he did. That was his reaction. So our men reacted in a combat situation after a firefight and did what the book said they're supposed to do. And none of them, by the way, were found guilty. But the cowards in the Defense Department and the U.S. military, all the way up the chain of command, have burned only one man, Lieutenant Colonel Chesani, who was not even there in Haditha. He was not even there. He was in the rear echelon. He was a battalion commander. But they cut the chain of command at him. You know why? Because he's a Christian. He's a homeschooling Christian with five children. And the rest of the bums probably have deals with industry waiting for them if they didn't have them going into the military. It's a national tragedy what they're doing to Chesani. This is what the movie should be about coming out of Hollywood. Instead, those vermin, those Judases in Hollywood put out anti-war movies in a time of war. Those Judases of Hollywood. Do a movie on Chesani and the people will flock to the theater. That's what I say.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Let's hear some rock and roll, please. The people expect it. I don't care what it is. And there it is. This is question number five on the Savage citizenship test. A, who's singing it? B, what year? All right, knock it off already. No one cares. They don't care about this. All they care about is Bush great, Hillary terrible, Republicans wonderful, Democrats awful. That's all. They're brainwashed by the golfer. What can I do? I'm struggling against the golfer. He has a huge audience and a bunch of shills out there, millions of shills that believe every word of the Republican Party, every word of the mouthpieces for the Republican Party. And it's futile to do talk radio anymore, truthfully. The shills, they're brainwashed. They're brainwashed. It's like instead of being red diaper doper babies, what they are is the equivalent on the Republican side. The left have the RDDBs, the red diaper doper babies. And here, the false conservatives are like, they've been called a lot of things. They don't even know what a conservative is anymore. All a person has to do is say, I'm a conservative. They think they're a conservative. That's all. What does it mean? Oh, I'm not a Democrat. Oh, that makes you a conservative? Define yourself. See if anyone can define it better than I did. Borders, language, and culture. See if anyone can define conservatism better than I have. Borders, language, and culture. Nobody can beat that. Nobody. Nobody, nobody, nobody. So I don't want to talk about it because it's boring. I want to talk about the pipe bomb. I want to talk about the recalled frozen pizza. I want to talk about the fact that the FDA says that they can't assure the purity of our drugs anymore, our medications, because 80% of ingredients come from foreign manufacturers and there's no record keeping. So you're getting a pill, for example, a prescription drug, and it says made by X company, Smith, Kline, French, Pfizer, whatever. But 80% of the ingredients may come from foreign laboratories, and we don't know anything about them. Nothing. That's what George Bush has done with outsourcing and free trade. Do you understand what we're talking about? It took 100 years to get the pure food and drug laws that we had in this country. It took 100 years of hard labor to pass these laws to control this kind of greedy behavior on the part of unscrupulous businessmen. Consequently, we had the purest food and drug supply in the world. America was the beacon of shining light with regard to pure foods and drugs. Now we have lost it all in a few short years under the Republican onslaught upon food and drug laws. You don't even know where your tomatoes come from. You don't know if DDT is in your lettuce because they're not grown in California. Half of the foods you're eating aren't grown here anymore. They're grown with human manure put on them in Mexico. And you don't understand what this is doing to us, so we can get a picture of it. But the same thing is happening to us morally. We're importing third world devaluations of our morality. We're starting to behave more and more like the countries that our lettuce is coming from than they're behaving like us. It was all taught to me in the fifth grade by a teacher I had named Mrs. We'll call her Mrs. Raisin. We'll call her Mrs. Carrot. You see, I moved to a new neighborhood. We moved in the fifth grade from the tenement of the Bronx to Queens, New York. It was in the fifth grade. To me, it was paradise. It had a little strip of lawn, a two-family house that we rented. We were the upstairs. The owners were down. It was a paradise. I had a little bedroom, you know, unbelievable. So I was the new kid in the classroom, and I was very shy. And I linked up with a real SOB, a really evil kid. He was the worst in the class. Somehow he and I linked together. I don't know how. And what happened was a few months later, the teacher, Mrs. Carrot, called us in, and she said, this happens every time in school. When a good kid gets together with a bad kid, the bad kid never becomes good. The good kid always becomes bad. And she said, Alan has ruined you. She's turned you into a bad kid. You shouldn't hang around with him. Now, it's the same with regard to America. We were the good kid. And the more we're hanging around with the bad kids, with rotten vegetables, no morality, etc., they have not become more like us, have they? We become more like them. So actually, Mrs. Carrot was 100% right. That's a pretty good story. I like that one. That's Mrs. Carrot. I learned everything by the fifth grade. Yeah, he went on. He married some lawyer there up in Scarsdale. Never worked a day in his life. Sold ties in the garment center. A real loser. Well, I can't blame him 100%. He was a bad kid, but he had a crazy mother. She's the one who beat her hands up with the chain and said he did it when the father came home, the father, and he had a fight. The mother was crazy. She affected him. I agree. He wasn't born bad. He was actually a nice kid underneath it all. I liked him a lot. He was smart, but ruined by the crazed mother. But I don't blame her either. She went crazy from a doctor in New Jersey who put her on Benzedrine to lose weight. So she'd drive over to New Jersey in her pink Cadillac. Look at my Cadillac, the bleach blonde trying to look like Jane Mansfield. When these songs were popular, this all went on. And she come back whacked out of her mind on Benzedrine. And she hated her son. All of her hatred for her husband she took out on her son. The kid didn't know what was going to hit him when he walked through the door. She hated him, picked on him. And one day she took a dog chain and beat herself over the wrist till they bled. He didn't know it. The husband comes home white in the face from his job, walks to the door, and there's the crazy mother with bleeding wrists saying, Oh, Si, look what your son did to me. The father turned white, threw his bag down, ran upstairs and got into a fist fight with his 12-year-old son. That's the mother. So I don't blame the kid for having gone crazy. I don't blame the mother. I blame the doctor. It can all be traced back to drugs and the doctors. They ruined an entire generation. Now play rock and roll because now I'm getting in the mood of the show. That's all. No, this doesn't work. That's too merry. I need something like Earth Angel would be good. Strum und Drang. I want some Earth Angel. How do you get over? Danny got something in his paw today. I can't get it out. It's like a little lion. Turn it off. I'm not in the mood for this crap, this garbage, this throwback music. I don't even like it. I'm not in the mood for it. I don't know what's wrong with me today. The shrimp must have done something to me. I'm going to go to that museum. I'll look at the paintings again and the New Guinea art. I'll be happy for 10 seconds. I will come out of this state of mind, what Bush did to us with the unpure food, unbelievable. When he gave a speech today to the new recruits, I really wanted to throw something through the television set. The kids are sitting there with the black berets on and telling them how noble they are. But God forbid they should pull the trigger before the enemy blows their face off. He'll have them before a court-martial faster than you could say New World Order, I thought to myself. WRKO in Boston, Lee, you're on the Savage Nation.
You know, the way you teach or the way you speak about modernity is so informative. And I have to tell you, there's a movement in education that is very frightening. They are moving away from auditory learning into just doing tasks so that the children aren't learning anything.
Wait, what do you mean by tasks?
Everything is what they call task-based. They have to work in groups. It's what they
call. Oh, how communistic of them. I see. It's group. In other words, it's groupthink. In order to make the world safe for homosexuals and radical Islamists, you have to teach them groupthink from kindergarten on.
Precisely. And it's
hey, fun. I know. You think I don't know who's behind it all? I know who's behind it all. I know who ruined America, who ruined the social order of America. I know exactly who did it. I know who the rats are. But I was riding my bike today in a mall. I went down to a mall and I saw the Gap store. Listen to this. You want to hear along the lines of what you're saying to me. You know the Gap owned by Levi Strauss, the once great American company that's turned into a cesspool of social engineering and can't sell a pair of dungarees anymore? So this huge storefront for the Gap store shows a mother and children and says something like red. The word red is on it. I don't know, the whole campaign is red. And it shows you to be good if you're red. I said, they're brainwashing people into being communists. They're that whacked out. It's about a sustainable project against AIDS in Africa. I had no idea what they were trying to sell me and why. Do you have any idea what they're doing with the Gap store? With products from Africa that are red? What are they talking about?
It's this new melange of globalism that we're supposed to just conform
to. But I'm telling you, the people who run these companies are no better than the people in education. They're all brainwashed. Everything is about feeling good, not about selling a pair of pants anyone wants to buy, or about teaching a child how to add four columns of three figures each. Can the kids add three columns of four figures each anymore without a computer?
Well, what they use now is called the lattice method, and if you don't teach it correctly, they fire you.
The lattice method? What does that mean? You climb a ladder to look down on your schoolmate's desk to see what the answer is?
Pretty much, but what they do is they make a box structure and then multiply on the diagonal. Most of the children get very confused when they need to go to decimals and actually count.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. They're like a nation of idiots. You know, I've taught myself ever since childhood to carry, you know, lines of figures in my head without a computer because I figured wherever I'm going to go, I'm not going to have a computer everywhere I go. I have to do deals somewhere. Even if it's in a foreign language and foreign currency, I have to be able to convert it in my head, right? The kids can't do that today?
No. In fact, we're failing in the MCAS, the Massachusetts Assessment System, which was sorely needed.
Well, you don't want any standardized tests because that discriminates against morons. Standardized tests discriminate against idiots and non-English-speaking immigrants who are not smart enough to have learned the language fast enough. And so what you want to do is dumb down the entire population and bring them down to the level of the illegal immigrant moron throwback. Then you have a wonderful new nation of idiots ready to have their hearts cut out and roll down an Aztec monument in Quetzalcoatlan.
You've described my hometown.
I love when I see these pyramid structures and these stories that they run on these history channels about the Mayans and what an advanced civilization they were. And they leave out the one essential fact is that all these temples were built to drag slaves to the top and cut their hearts out and roll their heads down into the waiting crowd of morons below who cheered as the chief drugged up maniac at the top of the anthill with tattoos all over his body, had the head cut off and rolled down for the masses of bloodthirsty savages below. They leave that out of the story about the wonders of the Mayan people.
That's so intellectual.
Thank you very much. Look, I know what's going on. I'm just enjoying it. But as Aristotle Onassis, the great shipping magnate and the former husband of, well, the husband of Jacqueline Onassis, who jumped right out of the back of that limo right into his arms because she wanted more money than she had, Jackie dear, oh, Jackie O, jumped right out of the back of that limo after the shot was fired. The next thing, she was in a Greek's arms. God rest her soul. Aristotle Onassis wrote, if you're going to get raped, you may as well enjoy it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Going to Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, here I come.
All right, let's stop the music now. This is question number 6 on the Savage citizenship test. Who wrote this, who sang it, and in what year? If you don't know it, get out of my country. So the Brits, with their foolish list of top conservatives and top liberals, list number 8 liberal in the country as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, that's funny. That's really hilarious. Here's a dumb bodybuilder. I mean, as stupid as they come. A steroid head. A real strudel head. The guy believes that global warming is 100% caused by man. So he's made an alliance with Al Corleone and Tony Blair, another genius. So they ranked Arnold Schwarzenegger as the number 8 liberal in the world. This is stupid. Evan Bayh is number 10. No one knows who he is. A blogger is number 12 no one ever heard of? You can see they don't know what they're talking about. Arianna Huffington, they list at number 16. Nobody reads her. She's a fraud. Arianna Huffington is a fraud. She married a rich oil man, took him for all he was worth. He then declared he was gay. She took the money she can get out of the marriage and became a liberal. From Michael Huffington, after he announced he was a bisexual. She's unknown, completely unknown. It's unbelievable how absurd this list is. You say, well, I'm jealous. I'm not jealous. None of them have had a bestseller like a 4 in a row like I have. I'm not jealous at all. They're jealous of me. They want what I have. They don't have my podium. They don't have my my success, my track record. So, yeah, you know, it's funny what a list means. And most influential conservatives. They list people with absolutely no reach whatsoever in the top 20. Let's see the number 1. This is a laugh. Listen to this. According to the Brits, the most influential U.S. conservative is Rudy Giuliani. Hello? A man in favor of gay weddings, grabbing your guns. In favor of abortion, he's the most influential conservative? Yeah, right. Maybe to the British they are. Matt Drudge is number 3? God bless you, Matt. Wow, that should help you a lot. I'm sorry you just lost your radio show. You were such a conservative. Newt Gingrich, number 4? No one knows who he is anymore. I mean, admittedly, I don't think Limbaugh is a conservative, but he should have been number 1, to be honest with you. Okay? He shouldn't have been number 5. That's absurd. Newt Gingrich is not a conservative. Newt Gingrich is an out-of-work politician with no influence whatsoever. He deceived the entire conservative base with his contract on America. You know, let's see who else is in the list here. Dick Cheney, he's a conservative. Robert Gates, John Roberts. I'm not so sure that the Chief Justice is a conservative. I'm not so sure of that. I think he's more of a middle of the road. John McCain is number 9. John McCain. Listen to these schmucks. John McCain, who is going to be thrown out of his own Senate seat because he voted with Kennedy to bring in millions of illegal aliens, they list as the number 9 most important conservative in America. This is unbelievable. It shows you how you can't rely upon anything you read in the newspapers. Mitt Romney, number 10. Mike Huckster. Mike Huckstaby, number 11. Condoleezza Rice is a conservative. She's number 12. Well, I guess conservatives now want to dismantle Israel. I guess I didn't catch on to that one. John Bolton, number 13. He should be like number top 3. Paul Gigot, the Wall Street Journal. He's as conservative as my dog is when he has a case of the runs. This is ridiculous. Haley Barbour, number 16. Hail, the gang's all here. What? They're saying he's the number 16 most important conservative in America? Frank Luntz? Who is that man? No one ever heard of him. This is ridiculous. The whole thing's stupid. Just the whole thing is idiotic. You know, you can't rely upon anything in the newspaper business. No wonder they're going out of business. It's no wonder anyone, no one reads these papers because they don't know what they're talking about. So that's it. When I come back, we have the guy who did the thing from the group from the 50s rock and roll thing on the show here now, coming.
Savage. What is language, culture, there? Savage nations on the air. Run, 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 run
love.
Right on, Rondado, Rondado,
Mikey's always there.
Language, culture there. Savage Nations on the air.
Here's the new bumper by the group called the Earls, Larry Chance and the Earls. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right now joining us is one of the members of the group, Chris Cassone. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's an honor to be on, Michael. Thank you.
So we have the new bumper you guys cut. I understand you're not in the picture of the guys there. You're actually the cameraman?
I'm holding the camera. I talked them all into it. Even though we're all fans, I talked them into it after one of our jobs on Saturday night. Put it on YouTube a couple days later, and bingo, we're talking.
Chris, let me ask you something. You guys look like the real McCoy. I'd love to hang out with you. Where do you all live?
Around the New York area. Larry lives up, believe it or not, in the Catskills, because we worked a lot in the Catskills '80s and '90s. And half the year I live out in L.A. We're all going to be out in San Francisco right after Thanksgiving. We'd love to come by and see.
Where? What are you? You're performing where?
We're looking for work.
Well, it's okay, man. I wish I had known, but we got to get together. Well, I will tell you what. I'll take you guys to dinner. It's on me, and we'll eat Italian food, not Chinese. And we'll try to make sure the shrimp don't come from Italy; that they come from the Gulf of Mexico. Right. And that's it. We'll just have some wine and some food. That'll be a lot of fun.
And we'll bring a little slice of Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, and we'll sing every acapella song that you know we'll sing.
You know, that would be great if we all went out together. And you know what we're going to do, Larry? Maybe we'll videotape and put it up on michaelsavage.com. Now, the YouTube thing you put up, the doo-wop on the Michael Savage thing, how many visits have you had? A lot? Can you tell?
It's about 7,000. It hasn't really gone viral, as they say, but maybe after tonight. It's kind of...
Where do you guys normally perform? Vegas, I would imagine? You do some work in Vegas?
We are all around the country, but for the most part, we're very strong in the Northeast. Remember Then was a huge hit in the Northeast. It was a national hit, but it was number one in New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington back in 1963. And then, you know, I Believe was another big hit, too. But
you did I Believe for Every Drop of Rain That Falls? Was that your song?
Well, we did a version of it that was arguably the most popular.
Oh, who was the originator of that one? I Believe Frankie Lane did that, right? The I Believe, that was the huge hit. But the Earls did some big numbers, and are you all living? Are the original guys still living?
Larry Chance is the founding member. Bobby Tribuzio, the drummer, is a founding member, and they are in the band. We do I Believe every night for Larry Palumbo, Larry Chance's best friend, who was killed in a 82nd Airborne parachute jump back in the late 60s. And and so he's the only one who's passed on. But
unbelievable. What you mean you do it every night as you guys get together and sing? Sort of as a memorial to him?
Every night the band plays, we end the show with I Believe
Dedicated
to Larry Palumbo.
And very, course, very nice.
You know, with when we mention the troops and you know, anything about our nation,
No, you guys come from a time that I come from when it was a patriotic country. Look what's happened to us now, Chris.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, we were talking on the doo-wop circuit, the oldie circuit, a lot of these groups, when we play these shows, a lot of times we're only on for about 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And so we're sitting backstage, all of us, you know, the Earl Speedo and the Cadillacs and Vito Pacone and the Elegant, all of the groups. And I'm not going to speak for all of them, but all of them seem to be, many of them seem to have the same sentiment. Because we come from that time when life was simpler and our country, you know.
Yes. Yeah, well, life may be complex, but there are certain things that don't change, you know, like God, family, religion, and patriotism. You know, how much has to change about that? Just because the politicians are a bunch of sellouts doesn't mean that we have to follow them, Chris. So isn't this 50s, are the 50s songs, that whole era, going through a revival in any way?
According to us, they never stopped. You know, we've been they had the rock and roll revivals back in the late 60s, early 70s, but we get steady clients, concerts are sold out around the New York.
You are. So when you come out to San Francisco, for example, you're looking to do what, concerts or clubs or what, or both?
You know, I don't think you have good old fashioned New York doo-wop out in San Francisco. So I think we're primed for the West Coast.
No. It's not forbidden to enter the city of San Francisco unless you pass the lesbian, gay, transsexual test. You're not allowed to perform in the city.
I hear that you're number one in San Francisco, so we got to be.
Yeah, but I'm not in the city. In other words, I broadcast into the city to drive them crazy.
Oh, okay.
But the fact of the matter is, the show's national. You hear me on WOR in New York, right?
Right.
So, do you guys listen to the show at all on OR?
We all listen to it. I stream it, you know, and I know Larry streams it. We stream it when we can. If we're out of the city, I travel around a lot, and we'll stream it.
It's a good thing, Chris. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna be in touch with you guys, Chris Gassone of Larry Chance and the Earls. Go on to michaelsavage.com and see their stuff. Can they buy your stuff and how do they link up to give you guys a little boost here? What do they do? How do they buy your records or your CDs rather?
LarryChanceandTheEarls.com is the best way to go.
Good. Well, guys, go and buy something from Larry. I mean, from Chris and Larry. You know what I mean? Put your money where your mouth is. That's right. Go and buy a CD from him. Chris, thanks for being on the show, and thank the guys for the doo-wop song by the Earls, and also when you're out here. What day are you out here, though, before we do this? I don't want to commit to something. I may not be. I have an event December 2nd. I'm going to do a speech at a religious school. That's a Sunday night. Are you here that week?
We were thinking of coming before that.
You're coming before Thanksgiving?
No. Before, like right after Thanksgiving, you know, that weekend.
All right. Good. I'm here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to take you all to dinner. It's on me.
You're on.
Of course. It's a good deal. Larry, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. It is 41 minutes after the hour. We can talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Old times, new times, future times, end of times. Depending upon your religious or non-religious orientation, I would assume any of those topics might appeal to you. Past times, future times, end of times, all aboard. This is the Savage Nation. The headlines are, as I've told you, the pipe bomb story. I mean, I was told by Judy McLeod of Canada Free Press that the Arizona nuclear plant is no longer locked down. The nuclear plant contractor who had the pipe bomb apparently has now been made into a hero. I think he's going to get the Presidential Freedom Medal for having tried to bring a pipe bomb on the whole country's upside down. Italy makes law to kick out undesirable migrants after admiral's wife was raped and killed by a gypsy. They call them Romanians, but you'll have to read the whole story. But apparently the Italians weren't going for the double talk, that they're underprivileged and blah, blah, blah. How about the good friend of Sean Penn, Hugo Chavez? How about the good friend of Harry Belafonte and Sean Penn and the other morons who went over there to kiss the ring of the dictator? His soldiers and Chavez have beaten up student demonstrators. They use tear gas, plastic bullets, and water cannons to shoot down students who are trying to stop Chavez the madman from declaring himself president for life. Maybe Hugo Chavez can bring in Sean Penn to give a speech on the wonders of dictatorship. Maybe they can get him out of his Ross, California mansion to go give a speech on the wonders of Marxism, that fraudulent moron, that psychopathic lunatic, that red diaper dopa baby born into a red family, and the mind was warped. I don't blame Sean Penn. His mind was washed. His brain was washed by his father, a commie, by what I've read. What lunatic lives in a mansion in Marin County and flies to Chavez, a dictator, and says he's a wonderful man with a great country? And that other one, Naomi Campbell, the supermodel, so-called, who likes to throw cell phones at her employees. She also found the joy of Hugo Chavez. It's astounding to me. The only one who hasn't made the pilgrimage yet is Al Gore, to say that socialism is better for the environment. Maybe we'll see Al Gore go down there with Ron Paul to visit Hugo Chavez next. The Times They Are A-Changin'. Hey, do you have any Times They Are A-Changin' by Bob Dylan? Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. That's what I want to hear. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy.
Say the Joker to the thief.
Yeah, there was some way out of there. You took the needle and that was your way out. Permanent exit.
I can't get no relief.
Yeah, well, you got your relief. You took a hot shot. That was your relief. Didn't work, the wine. Yeah, dig your herb. Dig your herb. Dig your herb. You dig your herb. The herb puts you right over the top into the hands of H. But talented musician, one of the best, changed the nature of music. Hold it. Now, all along the Watchtower is this one, right? How about Purple Haze, the LSD song? This is dedicated to the Democrat Party USA. This is their national song. This is dedicated to the campaign of Hillary Clinton. Dedicated to Hillary and Bill Clinton. Purple Haze. It's like the national theme song. They're all in a purple haze. They don't know where they are, these people. They never came out of the acid trip. I once saw a movie. Hold it, to this song. I don't remember the name of the movie. I can't get it out of my mind. Maybe someone could help me. It was a heavy set guy. You know, like the last guy you would think was a Taekwondo expert. I don't know the name of the movie, but the last scene of the movie was this like big mountain guy with like a reddish beard doing Taekwondo on the top of a mountain with the sun setting behind him to this tune. And I never forgot the way the guy's body moved. He was enormous. He was big. He was a big guy, like let's say one of the old, like a Tennessee guy, right? Really tough, Hell's Angel type of tough guy, big bone type of guy. Not like lean with abs, you know, that you see to the type that would fall over from a penicillin shot and scream ouch. And he was doing Taekwondo on the top of a mountain with this song, with the sun. I can't remember that movie. I think I imagined it, actually. That's going to be the end to my movie, when the Michael Savage story is finally seen in theaters across America, opening wide in 15,000 theaters. What is that going to do to the liberals when that movie is made? When, okay, you got Michael Moore making these crackpot left-wing things about global warming and hospitalization, telling you that the hospitals in Cuba are better. But meanwhile, that fat slob, I guarantee if he needed an operation, he'd go to Cedar Sinai, not to University of Havana. I can guarantee you that, let's say he had a little, God forbid, an aneurysm. He'd rush right to Cedar Sinai, Michael Moore. He wouldn't rush to Cedar's Cuba. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't rush to Fidel and give him a call to get a... Would he ask for an ambulance plane to fly him to Havana or to fly him to L.A.? That's all you got to answer, Michael Moore. The answer is L.A. or New York. That's where the ambulance plane would take him, not to Havana for the wonderful treatment down there. So they're all hypocrites and liars, but the movie does well because there's a lot of gullible fools out there who want to believe in this fairy tale of communism and socialism. But no one's made the conservative side documentary like that, and that's going to be my movie, the story of my life. How one man spoke truth to power and rose from the Bronx to the top of broadcasting and bestseller lists. That's a heck of a story with a lot of documentary footage in it based on my own archives and others with a few interviews. And when that movie comes out, I guarantee you, I don't know when it's going to come out because it's not being made yet. It's still being talked about. We haven't gotten out of the starting gate, but when I put my mind to something, it happens. It will happen. I don't know when. It should actually be being made now so it could come out like for the election. It should be in production, but it isn't. It got started. We got into an argument over... I don't want to get into it. Everyone got greedy right off the bat, and I didn't want to work down that particular road already. Because I learned, you want me to give you a little hint about business deals? Can I tell them to you? Those of you who may know something about them and those of you who don't. I'm going to give you something I learned from a very successful businessman 25 years ago, and it's always been true. You want to hear it? It's a one-liner. How it begins is how it goes. I've never heard a statement that was more true about business deals. It's almost true in relationships, too. How it begins is how it goes. Let's say you're about to get into a business deal with someone, and right away you're hassling and arguing legal this to every second. You're arguing over everything from day one. That deal is going to be like that for the entire life of that business deal. How it begins is how it goes. It's almost the same in relationships. So in other words, of course you have to sign contracts to go into business, but not everybody is going to drive you crazy on every little point. There are some people you could sign a 50-page deal with, and on a handshake, and it works fine. Everyone makes money, but I have never seen anything like it. There are people out there who are crazy and greedy and nuts, totally nuts. They got to take not a pound of flesh, but they got to take the ounce of flesh left over if they took the pound of flesh. They got to squeeze the last drop of perspiration out of your hide. Don't do business with them. You hear what I'm saying? I'll be back.
Darling, you know that I love you so, and I will never
let you go.
I love
Believe Me, My Love by Larry Chance and the Earls. That's the voice of, well, that's the group. From Philadelphia to the Bronx.
I've been happy as can be.
Oh, you gotta have lived through it, otherwise it has no meaning. How come men could sing in those days? What happened? They can't sing anymore? They lost their voice? Beautiful. Anyway, thank you. 1955, he moved to the Bronx, Larry Chance, and he grew up in Philadelphia. See, the thing was is that almost every street corner in the Bronx, there was a group of guys singing. Could you believe this? You know, the people laughed at him. They called him names and this and that. But it was a whole part of Americana that's gone today. I don't know what happened to it all. Where are they today? Men sang. Ordinary men sang. It was like a Fellini movie. America was like a Fellini movie in the 50s. And now it's become like the invasion of the body snatchers. Houston, Texas. Melanie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you are a very angry man.
And is anger illegal?
No, you're angry about everything in life. But you know what? That's good.
Wait, did you hear anger when I was talking about the 50s? I didn't hear anger in that.
But you're angry because it's not like that now.
Yeah, you see, the problem is a lot of people in America confuse anger or justifiable anger with hate. They don't know the difference between hate and anger. And that's because they themselves are so consumed by hatred that they think that anybody who is angry is hateful.
It's true.
Thank you for the call. I'm proud of my anger. It's justifiable rage, let me tell you. West Virginia, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi, Michael.
Come on, your phone is bad, Mike, quickly.
Can you hear me?
Thank you, next case. Call back. Nothing worse than a bad caller. Immediate death to the talk radio business. Sacramento, Phil, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hello, Michael. I tried to call a couple days ago. This local paper here in Lodi, on the front page, I think it was the day before yesterday, the lead story is three chapters in the seventh grade history book being handed out at Houston Elementary School here in Lodi are dedicated to the teaching of Islam. Jesus is mentioned twice. All the other major religions of the world.
Well, that's because the Christians have become too passive. If you got a little more fire back into your religion, maybe you can save yourself from the takeover by the Islamic let us say, pressure groups, who are running at us like armies, armies in the day and armies in the night. I thought there was a separation of church and state. Isn't that everything you've heard every time your daughter tried to wear a cross to school? The psychopaths from NYU said you have to rip the cross off your neck, but they let you put Islamic propaganda in the textbooks? How'd that happen, Phil?
I don't know, and I'm the same.
Well, I know how, because the Christians have been deballed by the churches. That's how. Next case. Bring him before Judge Savage. Chicago, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you. Topic is your simple conclusion to the problems of the breakdown of the purity of our products and our foods. You're blaming President Bush. Yes, he's part of it, but yet you've got Democrats, you've got Republicans, you've got business, you've got many other people who are part of this problem, not just him.
Well, sure, not just him. But the problem is he's the chief executive. And if he believed in the purity of our food and drugs, he would not permit 80% of the ingredients in our drug supply, our pharmaceutical drugs, to be coming from foreign suppliers. He could stop that overnight with an executive order. He could stop that overnight. He's the chief executive. Remember what Harry Truman said, the buck stops here.
That stopped.
Okay, thanks for the call. No, you can't give George Bush a pass on everything and say it's someone else. He's the chief executive, remember that, just as a CEO. It is the Savage Nation. It is michaelsavage.com. What else do you need?
Savage.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Jeff Bolton sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael's off this hour, and you what? You thought this was going to be easy? It's not going to be easy in hour three. Let me just tell you now before we get started. I will do one thing for you. I'll make this one thing easy for you. One thing. You people out there that are the problem, you know who you are. You're generally speaking liberal, but the conservatives today, as Michael was talking about in the last hour, just as bad. If you are liberal, I want you to do something for me. This is very important. Because I'm a very compassionate man. It's very important you understand that I care for you. And because I care for you, I want you to begin to self-medicate now. Because you need to self-medicate and retreat to whatever little gated community you live in. And if you're illegal and in this country right now, you better just leave now while I'm giving you the opportunity to do it on your own. You conservatives, you people that call yourselves conservative, that have the gall to admit to being a Savage fan. Let me make this easy for you. You know what Michael would call you? He would call, if he was sitting here right now, I can see him. I can watch him. They don't call him Dr. Savage for nothing. He earned that. He would say right now to you, you Republicans out there that call yourselves conservatives and you people that think you're conservative, he would call you, he would make up one of the things like he always does. He would call you like blue-pantied money whores or something like that. Let me make it easy for you. You better just steer your BMWs into the nearest bridge abutment, because the Sword of Truth in Hour 3 on the Michael Savage Show on the Savage Nation is coming here to cleave your little kitty brains. So don't think you're getting off in the third hour. You can just leave now. You can leave now, because if you don't have enough of a brain in your head to understand that what you're getting on this program every day is reality, leave. Leave. You're in the way. You're breathing perfectly good air, eating groceries that I could be using to feed my children. All right, here's what I want you to do. First of all, go to michaelsavage.com. There's a lot of news that you need to see today. For those of you that have not availed yourself of michaelsavage.com, go and look today. There's a lot of stories that you need. You've heard him talking about some of them through the hour. The genetically engineered Mighty Mouse. Did you hear what he said about rats? They're making it so rats can walk again. Michael said, I've never met a rat I want to walk again. I can't talk like Michael, but you know how he says it. Even Pelosi is disappointed in Congress on the website at michaelsavage.com. Don't miss that. It's very important. You knew this woman was going to be a disaster in the beginning. We call her saddlebags for reasons I can't exactly reveal to you, because I'll get in trouble and she won't invite me to her Christmas party again. And that hurts me, as you know. I'm a very compassionate man. Did I mention I'm a compassionate man? Go to michaelsavage.com. Right. Let us speak of authenticity. I just spent the first 2 hours of the program listening to the Savage Nation. I've been listening to the Savage Nation for years, and I'm one of the few people in this country with the intellect and the understanding to deal with what Michael deals with. Do you know why so many people listen and why they keep listening? It's a secret. I'm going to share this with you. It is a secret that you have not heard again. I told you the Sword of Truth is here. It's here right now. Listen to this. The reason that people keep listening to Michael Savage in the numbers that they do, it's because, A, they don't fully understand what he's doing. But they're getting smarter, and as they get smarter, they want more. They're like the, what's that guy's name? Pavlov and the food pellet. They want to keep hitting the lever and getting the food pellet from Michael, because the more they listen, the more they figure out he's right. I want you to understand the other reason that he listens, or that you listen when he speaks. I'll make this easy. America is desperate today. Absolutely desperate in every meaningful endeavor that we are involved in, be it politics, war, religion, anything else. Desperate, desperate. We'll kill people with their bare hands to have leadership again. What we are missing in this nation today, and there is a scorched earth desert Not unlike the one that people come over here illegally to suck on the teat of America in, but that's another story. There is a scorched earth out there today because there are no leaders. There are no leaders. There are not enough men and women of character who are willing to stand up and do what's right. It's such a simple thing. Let me ask you this question. Is this the country of your fathers and grandfathers? No. No, it's not. You keep hearing the expression from Michael, borders, language, culture. Is there anything else? No. No, there's not. Europe's a disaster. It's always going to be. You can never trust the Russians. You know what they're like. The Chinese, they're lost. They want to take over space. They want to be able to literally rain down bombs from satellites on us. And I ain't kidding either. You know what the rest of the world is. It's a disaster. The last bastion of hope for this entire planet rests here. But it's being absolutely, fundamentally, abjectly destroyed because there is no leadership in this country. And I am so sick, I'm going to use it again. Maybe Michael won't be angry with me about this. Blue-pantied money whores, which is the equivalent, the so-called conservative equivalent of the, Michael says, they're red. It's red and it's a diaper. I can't say it. It's not mine. I can't say it. So, blue-pantied money whores out there, these people that call themselves conservatives, got elected in massive numbers after 94. They're not authentic today. They were not authentic then. That's why people are listening to the Savage Nation. It's easy. This is not a complicated thing. I'm constantly amazed. I live in the South. I do talk radio. It's my job. It's what I do. I have a wife, two children, cat on a special diet, dog named Lucy. I fight illegal immigration every day. Every single day. Every day. Whether you're sleeping, waking, driving to work, with your wife, whatever. I'm fighting illegal immigration every single day in the South. Every day. You know why I do it? Because my family fought in the wars to preserve the character of this country. It's simple. Very simple thing. I didn't serve, but I tell the stories of those who do, and they count on me to do that. They count on the Savage Nation for that. Who's speaking for you today? Look around. Look around and ask yourself a question. Who's speaking for you? No, no, we don't know. No, no, no. No. What do you mean? What? Who's speaking for me? Nobody's speaking for you. How long has it been since government's worked for you? I got an experiment for you. I want you to do something. I want you to come out of your gated community if you still have the courage to come out and actually listen to the sword of truth that's cleaving your little kitty brains. I got something for you. Go to the street corner. Go to San Francisco. Go to New York. Go wherever you want. Go to a street corner. And you ask people. You stop everybody you see and carry a camera so they won't think you're an axe murderer or something. Carry a camera and ask them a question. It's very simple, really. Ask them a question. When's the last time government did something that helped you? And you know what you're going to find out? Virtually never. Virtually never. You'll get one or two answers from somebody that's on the take. Somebody that's on the dole, that's not pulling their weight, that's taking money just like all the illegal immigrants that are on the teat of America right now, stealing the American dream from our children, and while they're doing it, leaving our old people destitute. You'll find a few people that'll say yes, but the vast majority of people will tell you absolutely no. This is why you need the Savage Nation. And those of you people out there that don't recognize that without Michael Savage, you have no authenticity and you don't have people that are protecting the values that your fathers and grandfathers live for. If you don't do that, if you don't recognize that, you're of no use. Don't listen. Michael will tell you that. Look, be of use, be of service, or be gone. There is no value in that. Now, speaking of, our government is a disaster, a dysfunctional disaster. It's like a bad Barbra Streisand movie. It's a disaster all the way around. Michael talks about borders, language, culture. He does that in a world and a government that is broken. Coming up next, Michael's interview about a mole in the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. It's bad. You do not want to miss this. Gabriel Schoenfeld is going to be with Michael. I'm going to play this interview for you because that's how much respect I have for Michael. I don't want to take his third hour and just be forced to wail upon you with the sword of truth. I have too much respect for Michael and too much respect for you. This is Jeff Bolton on the Savage Nation. Savage.
I've linked a story from my website, michaelsavage.com, by our next guest, Gabriel Schoenfeld. The article's entitled, Who is Michael Sulick, and Is There a Mole Within the CIA?
Hello, Michael. I am now an editor at Commentary Magazine, and I blog daily at commentarymagazine.com. Blog there called Connecting the Dots, largely about intelligence issues, but I write about a number of other things as well. I've been at Commentary for more than a decade, and before that, I worked on Soviet politics.
Okay, Gabriel, let's start with the obvious. Who is Michael J. Sulick?
Sulick is the top CIA guy in the realm of human intelligence, or UMINT, as it's called in the espionage world. That is, he's the guy who supervises all the CIA agents and officers who are trying to recruit spies among our adversaries, be they foreign countries or terrorist organizations.
What is UMINT, or human intelligence?
Well, as opposed to all these other forms of intelligence like satellite intelligence and communications intelligence, which rely heavily on technology, UMINT intelligence, UMINT, is the collection of information from other human beings who happen to know things, like members of Al-Qaeda cells or people who serve in foreign governments. And that's a very traditional form of espionage, is trying to find such people and induce them by one means or another to report to us about what they know.
Now look, the CIA has been repeatedly castigated for weakness in collecting specifically human intelligence. Why? Why is this?
Well, there's been a long series of criticisms of the CIA for neglecting human intelligence at the expense of other kinds of intelligence. They've invested so heavily in all sorts of modern technological means of gathering information. They appear to have a fairly weak record. At least so we hear all time and again from the congressional committees that oversee them. It's an intrinsically difficult thing to do, of course, to recruit people, and the CIA has not been that good at it for various, presumably cultural reasons connected to the kind of organization it is.
How has the gathering of this type of intelligence changed since, let's say, the era of the Soviet Union and the Cold War?
There's been a dramatic intelligence shift in the kind of targets we're interested in. Back in the Cold War, we were trying to recruit Soviet diplomats and KGB agents, and they were one kind of target. They had the common human weaknesses. Many of them like to drink. They like to have sex. They like to spend money. Some of them even admired America. And all those things made them susceptible to recruitment. Today, we're facing Al-Qaeda, and its members are really quite different. They don't like to drink. They don't admire America. They're very puritanical about sex, so that's not a particularly good avenue for recruiting them. And they don't value money particularly, especially among the suicide bombers. Money does not have much value in the world to come. So they're a very hard target.
Well, why is this? And why is it so important while fighting the war on terror?
That's a very, very good question, because we trained, you know, a whole generation of intelligence officers and foreign service officers to understand Russian in a day. On September 11th, our priorities changed dramatically, and we began to focus on the Islamic world, where so many different languages are spoken. In Afghanistan alone, there's so many dialects, different tongues, that we have a really big gap there in our intelligence collection, just being able to translate things in a speedy way, let alone have like meaningful human interchange with people who speak foreign languages that we just don't have speakers of in our intelligence agencies.
Well, we face a large language barrier in the war on terror. Why is this barrier seemingly insurmountable?
You're fighting against very small cells of people, and there really is no way to know what they're planning to do without talking to them in one way or the other. Either you capture them and you talk to them through interrogations, or you recruit them and you talk to them voluntarily. And so human intelligence is absolutely key. There are some electronic forms of intelligence that remain important, have various efforts underway to intercept the communications, the emails, the telephone calls of terrorists, Al-Qaeda members, and others. But ultimately, it's the face-to-face human contact that is going to be the key to averting a second September 11th here in this country.
People in these Al-Qaeda cells are not easily recognizable. They blend into society well. How are we handling this in this PC time? Why is this specific type of intelligence so important fighting the Islamofascists?
We all know the story of how the band of 19 men hijacked four planes on September 11th. If we had arrested them on September 10th, really, they would have seemed quite innocuous. The only weapon they had in their hands would have been a box cutter, which is perfectly legal. But Muhammad Atta looked like a totally different person on September 10th than he did on the 11th. So it's very difficult to spot them, and it's very difficult to apprehend them unless we have the kind of intelligence that tells us who they are. Like if we capture one, he talks to us, or he has an address book that has other names in it, or a hard drive with data on it. We're stymied without that kind of information.
I want to go back to the title of your article. Are we worried that Al-Qaeda has a mole inside the CIA? What would happen if we had another Robert Hansen incident, only this time it was a Muslim?
Well, in the Cold War, in the waning days of the Cold War, the Soviet Union managed to place moles, Soviet agents, at the highest levels of two of our most important intelligence bureaucracies, the CIA and the FBI. And on the CIA side, they put in Aldrich Ames, who was a chronic alcoholic, who nevertheless managed to rise up through agency ranks, was repeatedly promoted until he became the director of Soviet counterintelligence. Despite his strange behavior, rose up in the FBI to a position where he knew a great deal about our counterintelligence operations and disclosed them. I think that officers of the CIA and the FBI today are very mindful of how they were penetrated in the past, and this is something that makes it difficult for them to hire people who come from that part of the world into the actual agencies to work because they don't fully trust them. They suspect they might be moles.
Now, whether or not we have a mole, we don't know. There is no evidence supporting or denying this. So how do we approach the problem?
Both the FBI and the CIA have what's called counterintelligence divisions, which are designed to make sure that the personnel working on our side are really working on our side and that adversaries are not trying to penetrate our intelligence agencies. And that's a traditional function of all intelligence agencies, counterintelligence. We're doing that. We're probably doing it pretty vigorously. You're right. There is no evidence that Al-Qaeda has penetrated our CIA or FBI. But I found it quite striking that our friend Michael Sulik, in this seminar he gave up at Harvard earlier this year, said that was one of his major worries, that there would be at some point, or there is, an Al-Qaeda spy in the agency, which, of course, the damage that could be done would be immense.
And this is coming from the man who's in charge of gathering human intelligence?
I mean, I think he was speaking rather in the abstract. I don't think he was pointing to any evidence, but it was just significant that that's one of his fears.
Well, great food for thought. I'll sleep well tonight. Thank you, Gabriel.
Thanks so much for having me on. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Savage.
Hey, we're talking with Jeff Kuhner right now. Jeff, tell us about the security breach aboard the USS Hampton. How did it occur? What are the details that we're not hearing?
Well, Michael, this is the lead story in this week's issue of InsightMag.com. What we have found out through our sources in the Naval Academy is that the U.S. military has been rocked again by another major nuclear security breach. Our premier nuclear attack submarine, the USS Hampton, was out in the West Pacific patrolling. This is a submarine with a very extensive nuclear reactor on board. What we have found out through our sources is that there was a complete breakdown in terms of giving security checks, safety checks, and background checks on that nuclear reactor, meaning, Michael, that reactor was not, there was no personnel overlooking it. There could have been chemical leaks, radiological leaks. This could have been penetrated by anybody who wanted to come in there and do damage or sabotage the submarine. When it came back to port, people began looking into the logs of the submarine, and what they found to their amazement was that for over a month, nobody had checked the nuclear reactor on this most vital of all submarines. And when the Navy began to investigate it, six submarine officers were complicit in an attempt to cover it up and to change the logs. The Navy has been rocked by this scandal. They're very concerned that this could be going on in other nuclear attack submarines. And, you know, Michael, this just highlights the severe problems facing the Navy in terms of nuclear security breaches and breakdowns. And, you know, Michael, there's been other problems affecting the Navy, lapses in judgment, discipline problems. We just found out that the USS Haseley, another prominent Aegis-class ship out near patrolling in Japan, just in November of 2006, a huge fire broke on board of the main engine room, and what we have found out is that the sailors apparently were so drunk they were unable to douse the fire effectively, and it did tremendous damage to the ship. Rather than report it to the top Navy brass, the commander on that ship covered it up, lied, said there was no fire, and then when he was confronted with the evidence, then tried to downplay the fact that many of his men under his watch were literally too drunk to put the fire out. And Michael, this to me just really highlights the fact that there are serious problems in terms of morale, in terms of discipline, in terms of alcoholism, drug abuse, that is affecting our entire military. And this scandal with the Navy, this nuclear security breach, comes on the heels of another major scandal, not affecting the Navy, but the Air Force, where just a couple of weeks ago, a prominent B-2 bomber was loaded with nuclear cruise missiles, six nuclear cruise missiles, and it sat in Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, right there on the runway, for over 24 hours, completely unguarded and unchecked. Literally any civilian, anybody could have walked in there, either stolen those nuclear warheads, gone on that plane, hijacked that plane. It was, Michael, absolutely incredible. And then this unauthorized flight was then conducted from North Dakota all the way to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. And so the Air Force is now reeling from this scandal. Congress is now trying to do greater oversight in terms of the Navy and in terms of the Air Force. But, Michael, the point I really want to stress to you and to your listeners is this. There have been now consistently nuclear security breaches both in the Navy and in the Air Force. And this is happening at a time when we are engaged in a war on terrorism, where we know terrorists want to come in and either blow up our most vital military installations, would love to drop a nuclear bomb on us or detonate a dirty bomb in our cities. And here we are, not even protecting our most valuable and dangerous military nuclear targets, such as our attack submarines or such as our B-2 bombers with nuclear cruise missiles. Michael, this is absolutely outrageous, and it's high time that the military brass took care of this problem, because, Michael, we cannot afford a mistake. And, Michael, I guarantee you, sources in the Justice Department have been telling me now for a while that they know for a fact that terrorist cells have been looking to penetrate our military installations, precisely like the one up in Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, to come in there and potentially detonate a bomb. I mean, just imagine, Michael, that a terrorist was able to penetrate Minot Air Force Base, and seeing that plane on the runway with six nuclear cruise missiles come in there and, I don't know, throw a couple of grenades or whatever, literally a kind of suicide bomber on an apocalyptic scale, and then that thing would have been detonated and there would have been nuclear radiation that would have destroyed millions of people in the Midwest. This, to me, is a scandal of the highest order. And so I hope that officers are disciplined and that many of them are fired. The good news is that the Air Force is taking action, and about 70 officers have been disciplined. Some have been fired. And, Michael, I hope this continues, because this cannot be allowed to happen again.
This is absolutely unbelievable. But what is the source of this breakdown, not just in the Navy but also in the military, and the lack of discipline that is involved? Why is morale so low right now, Jeff?
Michael, that's an excellent question. I mean, you know, why is the morale so low? Well, we talk to military people, they give you sort of numerous answers. The big one is that you do have places like Minot Air Force Base, very distant, very remote, really out of the way. You have people, you know, a lot of our soldiers or officers are on that base. They don't know how to blow off steam. They're there on the base all day. They have some time off. And frankly, there's just nothing much for them to do except to go and blow off steam by, you know, going drinking and, you know, just, you know, belting back the whiskey or going through a six-pack or 8, 10, 12 beers. And there is a chronic problem of alcoholism on a lot of our military bases, and it's a problem that's been growing for the last 10, 15 years. And, you know, the military is refusing to acknowledge this problem, but it's certainly there. that, I think, Michael, is the immediate, I think, problem affecting some of these bases. The bigger problem, and I think there's no getting around this, I think we as a country have to face reality in the face. We cannot flinch from this. There clearly has been a breakdown in all of our major public institutions. It's not just the military. I'm here in Washington every day. I look at Congress. I look at the White House. I look at the CIA. I look at the State Department. I look at all these domestic agencies. There is not just rampant corruption, but there is a general sense of people who work here that they don't really care for anybody more than themselves. They're in it for the paycheck. They're in it for their personal security. They're in it for their power games and to protect their turf. But nobody here really has much of a sense anymore of patriotism and of the greater good. That is an old virtue that is slowly declining in America today. And, Michael, this is exactly the problem that we conservatives have been saying for decades now. Big government, in the end, is not just financially unsustainable. It destroys one's character. That in the end, it makes you dependent upon government, and you lose those valuable virtues of self-reliance and self-control that really guided this nation for over 150, almost 200 years. And now we are facing, over the last 30 years, ever since the 1960s, a fundamental assault on this character and on this sort of these sort of central virtues that have really made America what the kind of country that it is today. And so, you know, Michael, to me, the problem in the military, frankly, is a problem that we're facing everywhere in terms of rising abuse of children in schools. What you're seeing is, I mean, the unbelievable corruption that you're now seeing on Capitol Hill. Michael, it is obscene. I mean, the inability to control our borders. You've talked about this eloquently and, I think, principally and courageously over the years. But, Michael, we just have another story on InsightMag.com about now it looks like an estimate that the federal government has been deliberately downplaying the amount of illegal immigrants in this country. They keep citing 12 to 15 million. The figure is more like 38 to 40 million. I mean, that's France. That's Italy. I mean, those are that's an entire major country that we have just allowed to come into our own borders like this, and we are not protecting our southern border. This is an outrage. Social Security is going bankrupt. Medicare is going bankrupt. Medicaid is going bankrupt. We are spending ourselves into bankruptcy and into oblivion, and everybody is asleep at the wheel. And so this, to me, this crisis in the military is a crisis in our public institutions, and fundamentally it's a crisis in the American character and in the American soul. And until we realize that big government is crippling us and destroying us as a nation, I think we're going to continue to face these problems for generations to come.
Well, that's a really good point. And given the fact that this comes at the same time that the UN is pushing for the Law of the Sea Treaty, which could possibly put the Navy in a global context, they're pushing for that. And Marines prosecuted in Iraq for merely doing their job. How does all of that play into this situation also?
Michael, that is an absolutely brilliant point. You are now seeing a very aggressive, concerted effort by liberal multilateralists based in the United Nations and clearly also with their allies here in Washington that want to tie down American sovereignty. They want to tie down our Navy. You see the Law of the Sea Treaty. Where it's this, to me, the Law of the Sea Treaty is an absolute outrage. It is a clear power and resource grab. It's a heist by the United Nations trying to prevent the United States from getting key access to resources under the sea. And we are just going to give away access to vital minerals, oil, invaluable minerals and resources that we have underneath the sea. We're just going to throw that away and then subject our Navy to the authority and discretion of the United Nations. And, Michael, we know for a fact in the UN it is dominated by dictatorships. It is dominated by anti-Semitic, anti-American regimes that have been looking to tie down the United States for decades, pretty much since the UN's inception in the 1940s. And, Michael, it is high time that this country woke up. And instead, again, this is, again, what I talk about, the breakdown in our public institutions. This assault continues day after day. And people in Washington just go on with life as usual. And they're obsessed with, is Hillary up in the polls? Is she down in the polls? Was Tim Russert unfair as a moderator because he asked her to clarify two contradictory positions? You know, it's like literally we are fiddling as Rome burns. And this, to me, is the absolute tragedy that in the end, Michael, when history books are written about why the United States collapsed, just as when history books have been written about why Rome collapsed, the same sources of decline will be cited. We, in the end, are to blame. We, in the end, are the ones that gave up in terms of our patriotic duty. We gave up on our vigilance. We gave up on our civic activism and on our civic participation. We failed to hold our elites accountable. We were the ones that failed to eventually kick the bums out and put in genuine patriots like our forefathers had from the Revolutionary War, really until the wreckage of the 1960s and the 1970s, and God bless him, Ronald Reagan, who helped to restore American dignity and American pride. But you're looking at the last 30, 40 years, Michael, you are seeing the very same causes that destroyed Rome are destroying us. We've become lazy. We've become overly bureaucratic, overly regulated. We've become arrogant. We've become completely and utterly unable to stand up for American national sovereignty, for our cultural self-confidence, and to reaffirm the great values and the virtues that made this country great. And slowly but surely, Michael, we are losing control of this country. And until we, the American people, realize this, politicians here in Washington are going to continue to sell the interests of this country right down the river.
Thank you, Jeff.
Michael, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure being with you.
Savage.
This is Jeff Bolton sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You just heard some chilling interviews that Michael did with Jeff and Gabriel both. And it behooves us at this point, I want to direct you back to the site, to michaelsavage.com, to get more details from Gabriel's interview in particular regarding a CIA mole. Also in Jeff's interview, there's a couple of things that you heard there. Michael is off this hour. He'll be, of course, be back next week. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts about something that Michael talks about with regularity that you heard buried within the interview that he did with Jeff, and that has to do very specifically with the degradation of our culture. Jeff was pointing out, as you heard there, a number of issues and struggles and difficulties that they're having in the military right now. And viewed through the lens of today's society, that doesn't come as a great surprise that you're going to have greater problems there, because in what is, generally speaking, a remarkably disciplined military, if you see these kinds of problems, you only have to turn inward and look at our society to see that we are absolutely overrun with filth and immorality and illegality. And there's something else fundamentally at work here. And think about this thematically, because when you're a Michael often talking about this, he puts this in very simple terms of border language culture. And it's an umbrella that catches the general lawlessness that seems to pervade our nation today. But it's not just the illegals. And that's where the very dramatic difference is here. It's not just the illegals breaking the law. That's bad enough. But when you see the malfeasance and the corruption in Congress and the vile, vile things that these politicians do, you look at that and you ask yourself, there's an inevitable question there, and almost an enlightenment, if you will, or a self-awareness that says, I must seek the truth. You must not only seek it, but you must also honor it. Now, you heard me in the first part of this hour talk about the sword of truth. That is, the sword of truth is a real thing. In fact, Terry Goodkind, who is a friend of mine, a multi New York Times bestselling author, has a series called the Sword of Truth series. And what we all have to understand as a nation here is that the Sword of Truth is absolutely winnowing in that it only knows black and white. And in the world that we live in today, issues such as border language culture, they're no longer black and white. There's always this moral relativism. Well, there's these poor people. They just want a better life for their children. What's wrong with you? You don't want to let them over to America because they just want a better life for their children. No, that has nothing to do with it. Follow the law, come over here legally, and if we can find a place for you, we will, and if we can't, we won't. That kind of directness and moral clarity on a day when Brigadier General Paul Tibbetts passed away last night, of course. He is the pilot of the Enola Gay, of course, the B-29 that dropped the first bomb on Hiroshima. Stop and understand, Harry Truman had to make one of the most extraordinarily difficult moral decisions that has ever been made on this planet. and he stood up and he did it. Paul Tibbetts had to get in an airplane with hand-picked veterans who were he had flown with the European theater and get into a B-29, fly off into the night, and kill 80,000 people just within the blast alone, not to mention the thousands that died later. He did that because we had moral courage in this nation back then. We had moral courage and we had leadership. Now, I'm not blowing sunshine up Michael's skirt here, but where do you get moral leadership and moral courage in this country anymore? You get it in the Savage Nation, you know that. You get it from Michael every day. But how many other places do you get it? You sure don't get it from your government. When's the last time you heard government actually doing something for anybody that was useful? Stay involved. I say this for Michael because he's not here. Get over to michaelsavage.com. Look at the stories that he has there. Start to winnow in your own mind with the sort of truth and find out for yourself. This is not somebody just shouting from the wilderness, speaking to all of America and the numbers that Michael does this every day. It resonates and more people listen because it is the truth. Ask yourself, who do you need to tell about it? What is your responsibility to it? These are all the kinds of things that we're going to have to deal with. And if we don't, you're going to hear what Jeff described. And I thought very accurately, some of the parallels he drew between the fall of the Roman Empire and where we are in America today were absolutely remarkable. Now, it's long, but you can read it. Read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. The parallels that exist today between Rome then and us now, where we are in this United States, are striking. And it is absolutely incumbent upon all of us to hang on to our culture. Paul Tibbetts passed away. He was a great American. He's also a great American that said he never lost a night's sleep over dropping the atomic bomb. Never, never lost a night's sleep. And even in his passing, you must know this, he did not want to be buried with a gravesite, with a headstone, because he didn't want the no nukes, anti-nuclear knuckleheads to have a place to protest. So they're either going to bury him privately or they're going to take his ashes and they're going to put him out somewhere. Even in his death, he has courage to deny these anti-nuclear knuckleheads out there. Get involved. Keep it in mind. Go to michaelsavage.com. A number of new stories posted there right now that you need to see. Michael will be back with you, of course, this coming week for more of the Savage Nation. I'm Jeff Bolton.